Amen. He is holy. And what a privilege and blessing it is to be able to worship Him this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. Thank you to all those who are visiting with us. Thank you to our members. Thank you to those who have tuned in on our live stream. And we certainly want everyone to be with us whenever you're able. And we also, as Justin mentioned earlier, will recognize that next Sunday, the most attended service all year long will be typically on Easter Sunday. Of course, that is the day that the world will recognize that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. And certainly, we're going to celebrate that today. We're going to celebrate that next Sunday. We're going to celebrate it 52 Sundays this year. But at the same time, we have a theme called Love Your Neighbor. Why don't we go to our neighbors? Why don't we see if they have a church home? Why don't we encourage them, if they don't, to come with us? And you know, maybe you can remind them that this place is so special. We have several members that are driving over 30 minutes, over 45 minutes, over an hour, just come to worship with us. That's how special this place is. And so let me say to those who have traveled this morning to be here, thank you. But may we all encourage others to be with us, and let's do that. Maybe there's somebody in your prayer list that you've been praying about. Take advantage this week. Pray for wisdom. Pray for God's timing. And pray that God will allow you the opportunity to encourage them to be with us today. You know, there are certain things in life that some have more than others. There are certainly those who have more money than others. There are those that have more abilities than others. There are those that have more athletic ability than others. There are those that have more intelligence than others. And so that's what makes this world special, right? It's also what makes a church special. We have different talents, different abilities, different backgrounds, different finances, all these things. We're all working together for one goal, and that is to get us and as many as we can to heaven. But you know, to put it on an even playing field, I can't promise you you'll have more money. I can't promise you you'll have more intelligence. I can't promise you you'll have more abilities. But one thing we all have equally in here today is time. Let's paint a picture. You know, there are a lot of distractions in this life. There are a lot of things in this life that we will consider ourselves busy. And I would guess that if you were to ask somebody whether they're retired, whether they're working, whether they're a teenager, whether they're a young adult, whether they've been married for a few months, whether they've been married for many years, you could ask everybody and interview people in here and say, hey, are you busy? And they would probably say yes. Maybe it's just the catchphrase that we're supposed to say, right? Maybe we're supposed to say, you know, I'm doing this, 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 and this, and somebody else may think I'm not, and so I got to tell people, hey, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. But in our minds, we've convinced ourselves, I'm busy. Well, you know, one reason why we think we are so busy is because we have access to what other people are doing in their lives so easily. For instance, you can turn on social media on your phones or on your computers, on your screens, we'll call it that, and you can see that so-and-so's off playing 1,000 baseball games today, or so-and-so's off, you know, doing all these dance things today, and so-and-so's off doing all this hunting today, so-and-so's off doing all this shopping, and you know what? And we're just so busy, and I feel like I've got to be busy. Really, what we're doing is making excuses for a lot of things. Here's the picture. The average American spends over 7 hours a day on their screens. I said the average American. Some studies say it's closer to 10 to 12 hours when you add up everything. Now that could be a computer screen, it could be a TV screen, it could be an iPad screen, it could be a phone screen. Screen in general, right? 7 hours a day is the average, 10 to 12 when you add everything up. Some say it's closer to that. Talking about our phones though, talking about being busy and seeing how busy other people are, we get that access through our phones. We check our phones nearly 100 times a day. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Some people check their phones while I'm preaching. And I see you, by the way. Oh, it's your Bible. I know. I'm sorry. We check our phones nearly 100 times a day. Spend 4+ hours just on our smartphones. We as Americans work around 1,800 hours a year, more than just about anyone else in the world. We have hobbies, we have families, we have activities, we have a lot of things. But when you take all that away, you know what we have? About 2 or 3 hours a week with God. We're constantly busy. We're always moving. We're always scrolling. We're always working. But somehow, after all that busy, after all that working, after all that scrolling, after all that whatever else, we are still left empty. You see, the problem isn't that we're out of time. The problem is we've just filled it with something else. We're always going to make time for what matters to us. Have you noticed that? We might be so busy, so many things going on in life, that no matter what, I'm going to make time for what I want to do. So it really comes down to what has our time been saying about our priorities? It really comes down to a priority situation. What matters most to you? What matters most to me? You know, it doesn't really matter ultimately what you decide, what I decide. It really matters what Jesus decides. So what did Jesus say about priorities? What did He say about time management? What did He say about our focus? What did He say about what we do every day? Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke 14. Luke 14 is going to expose something that could be uncomfortable for some of us, maybe even all of us. You know, in this passage, we're not going to look at things that matter to people. We're going to look at things that matter to Jesus. And He's going to do it through telling a story. People say they value something. Oh, I value God. I value reading Scripture. I value studying. I value praying. I value worship. I value being involved with the church. I value all these things. But when you look at your calendar, what does it really prove you value? Let's read together. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. But He, that is Jesus Christ, said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to do what? Make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Now before we go any further in this, let me remind you that this isn't a story just about a dinner. You see, this story is about something much deeper than a man inviting some folks to a dinner. This story is about the kingdom of God. This story is about the invitation from Jesus Christ. And this story is about the tragedy of those who had misplaced priorities. You know what Jesus is saying here in this story to us? I believe he's preaching this to us right now. He said, who you make time for says everything. Let's break this story down. Look at the first part of this. There's the invitation. If you look back at verses 16 and 17, come, for everything is now ready. Now there's a man who obviously is well-to-do, right? He controls a lot of things. He has a lot of different resources to his liking, to himself. And so he's throwing this huge banquet. And you know he's going to have the best food. He's going to have the best drink. He's going to have the best of everything. And this is not just some casual meal. Hey, man, you want to come over tonight and let's hang out together? That's not what this is. This is something that an invitation went out very early on. He's not going to just serve leftovers here. You know, this isn't that kind of meal. This is a prepared, costly, intentional invitation. And I need you to notice when you pick up in this story, they've already been invited. In fact, he's telling them, hey, now you can come because everything's ready. The invitations went out sometime prior to this story, right? And the way this would work in a big fancy deal like this in that culture, the first invitation would have been one of those RSVPs, right? You reserve your space. You're going to be coming. Hey, they sent this invitation. We need to let the master know. Yes, we will be there. Now, here's the second invitation. It's the call. He said, hey, I know I sent the invitations earlier. You said you're going to be there. All things are ready. It's time to come to the feast. You see, these people had already told the master. So what I need you to see in this story, when you pick it up, they've already told him, we're coming. The master sends out this invitation and it sounds phenomenal. Free food, free drink, free entertainment. It's going to be the best of the best. You can't find anything any different. You can't find anything any greater than this anywhere. That sounds great, Master. Thank you for thinking of me. We'll be there. Sound familiar? Of course I'll follow Jesus. That sounds great. Yes. God is very important to me. Oh, church matters. Worship matters. Being there matters. I agree with you. But then the moment comes. What we actually make time for then tells the truth. God's extended an invitation to everyone in this room. And you know what he wants? He wants a relationship. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to have a part in his heavenly kingdom. You heard about the temple. Jason, great job today, buddy. You heard about the temple, right? And if you go back and you look, and he talked about the cost of the talents of gold and everything, if you put it with the cost of gold today, millions upon millions of dollars. You remember how great that temple was? By the way, Solomon would have been a trillionaire if you put all the gold that he had and you put it with the cost of everything today. Richest man to live, really. But when they built that temple and David got it all ready for him and Solomon actually built it, you recall how beautiful it was? Remember, silver was worthless in Solomon's kingdom. It had no value. Think about that. That's how much gold he had. So they were hanging this gold up. I mean, they were hanging these walls up and they were overlaying them in gold, not gold paint. Melted down gold, okay? They were using gold nails. In the Holy of Holies, they carved this fancy angel out of an olive tree. You can imagine they didn't get a guy with a pocket knife to go do it, right? He's the best of the best. And they make this huge cherubim, and you know what? They made another one right next to it. You know what they did? They overlaid them in gold. And one cherubim, this is just the Holy of Holies now, one wing touched this wing to the middle, and then the other wing touched right here at this wing, and it touched this other wall, and underneath it was God. At least the representation of Him. The Ark of the Covenant. Trillionaire, silver's worthless, gold walls, gold nails, overlaid with gold, all this. And that pales in comparison to what heaven will be. And God has invited us to be there with Him. He's invited us to have a seat at His table. So the question is not, have you been invited? That's not the question today. The question is, will you make time for Him? The second part of this story are the excuses. Verses 18 through 20, I really want to focus on this phrase right here. They all alike began to make excuses. My next line in my outline, I wrote in all caps. I still wrote it in red, by the way. All alike. Every one of them the same. Excuse after excuse after excuse. They were different people who had different lives, and they all, when it came time to actually doing something, had the same answer. Excuse, excuse, excuse. Let's look at the excuses. Excuse number one, possessions. He said, I bought a field. I have something I need to look at. Was it sinful to buy a field? No. Was it immoral to have possessions? No. But by him saying that, it meant that his field, his possessions, all the things he had to look and evaluate, they were more important than the master's invitation. We got a lot of possessions, guys, in this country. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the men and women in this room, for the men and women that are currently serving, and for the men and women that are signing up and very soon going to go and serve the United States of America and keep us free and keep us prosperity with us and wealthy and all that. But we all have a lot of possessions. And because we have so many possessions, we get busy, right? So the invitation, you know, I just can't get up for Sunday school. Because this possessed bed that I have is very comfortable. I've got a comfortable bed at my house, I really do. And I enjoy getting in it at night. Sometimes I don't enjoy getting out of it in the morning. But again, what if we just possessed some hard floor? Would that help us respond to the invitation? Oh, Terry, Sunday school's not in the Bible. It's not. I agree. It's not. There's not a thou shalt go to Sunday school. First of all, if you got to make that argument, maybe you need to ask where your heart is. But also, there is a, if my heart knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Okay? My point behind it is, what's the excuse we're going to use? What's the excuse? Is it possession? Secondly, he said, business. I got a business. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got work I got to go out there and do. Listen, a man shall not work, he shall not eat. That's biblical. We got to work. I get it. Even Adam when there was no hard labor, he still had to go gather the fruit. God didn't just put it in the refrigerator, right? He had to go gather it. So work has always been part of God's plan. So God expects us to work. I get that. But what about when work constantly replaces worship? Listen, I understand shift work. I understand being on call. I understand. There are times, and God knows your heart. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the situations when we say, hey, work and money is more important than you, God. You may not say it that way, but the response to the invitation says it that way. Third one, he said, relationships. I've married a wife. Certainly, family is a blessing. God designed family. He joined Adam to his bride, Eve. But when our family and our family's events come before worship. Oh, and listen, I understand. We can watch live stream, and I'm glad. Those who've tuned in live stream, I'm glad. But listen, I'd rather you be here. I love you enough to tell you, I'd rather you be here. When we shut it down for terrible time in history. Justin would be on this. Honestly, I made my family. I didn't have to make them. They wanted to. They got up and they got ready. I still had small children at home. I didn't want them to think, hey, we can just stay at home and watch TV and be fine. They came and they sat in a section right here. Justin and me and them. That was it. And that's okay. I understand what it was. At first, live stream was great. We sit down as a family, we get up, we sit there in front of the TV and we watch it. But then, you know what, after a while, we like, got Terry on the phone there. I'm going to go do about all this other stuff over here. Oh, I got it on though. That's the way it gets, right? I know we can do live stream with our families, but when we got activity after activity after activity, and we just put live stream on, what are we telling our kids? It's okay just to have it on a phone where you're really not paying attention. Hey, I'm going to shuck corn today. I love being married. I love my children. I love my family. But I better respond to the invitation before they come into my life. You see, God's got to come first. None of these excuses were in themselves evil. None were wicked. They weren't full of scandal. They were just prioritized over God. Again, we'll always make time for what matters most to us. And when we don't make time for God, you know what we're saying to Him? Hey, God, something else matters more than You. Now, you might not say those words because that sounds pretty chilling to say, right? But our actions say the whole story. We could add in there a lot of excuses. I'm just using the ones they put in there. We could add in their hobbies, right? We could add in their extracurricular activities. We could add in their fun day, whatever they call that. We could add in there a lot of stuff, right? But I think we get the point. To the master. They had already accepted the invitation, but when it came time to do it, they had excuses. Well, guess what? There's a third part to this story. You think it made the master happy? No, there's the anger. Look back at verse 21. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. He reported the excuses. Then the master of the house became what? Angry. And said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. I want to tell you something in case you weren't aware. God doesn't like rejection. Our God is a jealous God. What does that mean? It means no other gods before Him. You see, our God, who we call God, is really Yahweh. Because Yahweh is the only living God that we should serve. He is the one who created everything we know. He is the one that when we broke His heart, still made a way. He is the one that is not willing that any of us should perish. No matter how many times we've rejected Him and broken His heart, He still wants a relationship with us, and He still wants us to be at the invitation. But He doesn't like rejection. This wasn't the excuses and them not coming was not done in ignorance. Remember, they already had knowledge of an invitation, an RSVP, right? No, you see, what this was that made Him so angry was intentional neglect. Because at this point, you know what? The meal was already prepared. The invitation already extended. The opportunity was real and before them. And they simply said, I don't have time. I'm too busy. You know, to delay God is to dishonor God. God, I don't have time. I've used this before when talking about priorities. I'm going to use it again. The way sometimes we live our lives is this way. Here's the life of Terry. And I'm going to stick it right in the ground. Okay? In the life of Terry, maybe his family, maybe his job, maybe his hobbies, it's his activities, it's everything. Terry is right here, and I am in this ground. Now, here's what I need from you, God, Jesus. I need you to revolve around me. And see, when I have time, I'll worship you. When I have time, I'll read my Bible. When I have time, I'll pray. When I have time, I'll tell somebody about Jesus. When I have time, fill in the blank. If you think that is going to get us a seat at the invitation, we need to talk. That's going to get us lost. Now, what needs to happen is here's the cross of Christ. We better plant it in the ground and we better revolve around it. Oh, that's going to cost us to not be able to worship? We're going to cut it out of our lives. Oh, that's going to cost us to not be able to pray more to God? Then we're going to cut it out of our lives. Oh, that's going to cause me to not be focused on the cross of Jesus? Then we will cut it out of our lives. Do you feel that strongly about it? There's one more part to this story, and that's the rejection. Verses 22 through 24, the servant said, Sir, what you commanded has been done. And that means he went out and told the blind, the lame, the crippled, and the deaf and all that, right? The servant said, Sir, what you commanded has been done. And still there is room. And the master said to the servant, Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. That's chilling. They didn't just miss a meal. They missed the entire banquet. Again, I'm going to go back to they didn't do things sinful. They didn't go out and cheat on their family. They didn't go out and get drunk. They didn't go out and do whatever Satan sinfully wanted them to do. They just made excuses and said, we don't have time for you. We're too busy. So you know what the master said? Jesus said, they're rejected. That part when he says, depart from me, for I never knew you, that is what he's talking about. The invitation then went out to the poor, the crippled, the blind, the outsiders, those, anybody that was willing to come. Because if we won't make time for God, someone else will. So here's the implication for us today. Folks, this is not a story just about a banquet. This is a story about our lives. So we need to ask ourselves honestly. Maybe even take some time and put down pen to paper. Make a pie chart. Figure it out. Who gets your best time? Your best time. Is it your job? Is it our hobbies? Is it our phone, our entertainment, our family? Or is it God? If Jesus could speak to us today, pretend he's standing right here in the middle of this room, and he said, hey, family, loved ones, everything's ready. I've prepared it all. You don't have to do anything except come. What would your life say? I'll be there later. I'm really too busy. Appreciate the invitation, but not right now. Or would your life say, Jesus, nothing matters more to me. I'm coming home to you. Well, Jesus can't stand before us today and do that, but don't kid yourselves. The invitation still stands. All things are ready. Come to the table. Come to the Savior. Come while there's still time. May we never let excuses, busyness, or anything else rob us of eternity with God. The invitation's been extended. If you need to come, do it right now. Together, we stand and sing.